finally home, and I have no intention of going anywhere once I get home.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, after a long day, especially since you had to stay and mentor someone, yeah, I definitely understand. I'll give it to Steve, let him come in.
Thanks, Vic. This is Steve, KD2WTU. I'm really sorry, man. I didn't get your call sign. I know I'm talking to Mike and Vic. I didn't get your call sign. I don't know who else we're talking to.
This is KD2UDU, Wayne. I'm not sure if I ever met you, Steve, but how you doing?
Hi, Wayne. Yeah, I don't know if we've ever met either, but I know you're on the group chat. I see your name on the group chat every now and then. How are you doing this evening? What are you up to? Just hanging out at home?
Attention. I, as a matter of fact, I just pulled in the driveway. So I am definitely going to sign now. This is KD2UDU. I wish you guys 7-3. Steve, Mike, Vic, have a nice meeting. And so say hi to, tell Gary, the new guy, says hello. And with that, this is KD2UDU, and I'm going to be clear.
All right there, 7-3, Sam, nice talking to you. Hopefully we'll meet soon. This is KD2WTU. I'll pass it back to Vic. Vic, how's your car doing? You get the car fixed up?
WIX, yep, I got my car fixed. I'm happy. Luckily, I didn't have to pay a dime to get it fixed. I found out that if I had to pay out of pocket, it would have cost me at least $3,000 to replace my computer. Back to you, Steve.
Ouch. Well, thank you, Elon Musk, for an ironclad warranty. All right. That's good that you didn't have to pay any out-of-pocket. That's good news, man. I'll pass it back to Mike. How are you, Mike?
Well, I'm here at the park. I just arrived.
Okay, now, Mike, if the customer's over right, what's this problem? What do you do then?
Sorry, you and Vic double. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that you're probably signing now, Mike. See you, Mike?
I'm the first person here. Nobody else is here.
Oh, okay. That's pretty unusual. I didn't even bring my radio gear because I was kind of in a rush to get out so I can get there at like around 6:30. Do you see?
Well, I have no general license. I have no radio gear, but I did bring a little folding table and a folding chair, so that's what I have to offer this evening.
How close are you guys? Do you want to fly?
I'm currently right now in Roslyn. I'm about to get onto Northern State.
And I'm coming up the block. I'm about 5 minutes away.
All right, I'll put a call out there.
So is Steve not there yet? Usually Steve is pretty early, so I'm surprised that he's not there today. 82. WIX, listening. KD2WIX. KD2VDWEQSY, Vic.
Traffic.
Lucky you, Jerry.
Oh, well. I wasn't enough coming home the other day.
Well, this one backed up farther back on the LIE, and it only says 45 minutes to the cross island. I've seen it 55 minutes already, but it seems to be worse today. But I get off at the next exit anyway, which is another mile or so down the road.
Yeah, I know. Ann and I went up to the Thousand Island last week, so I came home on Saturday.
Did you ever make sure there actually are a Thousand Island? I think when I went there when I was a child, and I think we took a tour or something with them. I don't know, probably either passed. I don't think we got off it on the island, but I think we passed a few and the bigger ones, and I don't remember talking about 50 plus years ago. More than that, 60 plus years ago.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of islands, I'll tell you that much. And I wasn't about to count them all.
But just think you could have got each island.
could have done Poto as well, because there's 26 parks up in that area.
We're going below the ground, so I misspotted it. Ah, the electronic sign was just about to be turned off, so that was completely blank. And they were saying 30 minutes, so the... Oh, no, it came back on, okay. 14, 26, and 30. That's good. This my cell phone. They look at your cell phone at the time that way, or the easy pass. I'm not sure how to determine what the what the travel rate is to these special points.
I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm going to be getting into a bad area, and you're in a bad one. But there are a lot of snap, crackle, pop, and dropouts.
Yeah, I'm below the ground over here. All right, 73 W12.
All right, take care, Jerry. 73W2OSR.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BF.
experiences. We have lined up Bob, W2OSR, who's going to speak about what NARC did. And we have Dave, WA2YYL, is going to be speaking about the experience the American Red Cross Club had. And Tony, NY2A, is going to be speaking about his individual activities. We're looking to garner some ideas for improving our operation, best practices, and other ideas from presentations from these other clubs. And that'll be on the October meeting, which I believe is going 13th of October. Sid, back to you, Richie, KC2FYJ.
Hi, thank you, Harry. And the next station with traffic is Jerry, our treasurer and membership, WB2ZEX. Jerry, go ahead with your traffic.
WB2ZX, I grabbed the wrong microphone. Good evening, everybody. No, I'm not going to talk about membership. I'm not going to talk about treasurer or dues. I'm just going to talk about my third position, which is log editor. I like to get some articles for the log. Maybe there should be an article on School Club Roundup that's coming up in October. Maybe there should be an article about Aries, or from Aries. And maybe there should be something from the technical committee. So that would be three nice articles that would fill up some more pages in the log. K2KMB, WB2ZX.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you for that traffic. The next station with traffic is Ken, WB2KWC. Ken, go ahead with your traffic.
Okay. Thank you, Richie. This Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month, which should be a computer. However, because of the Yom Kippur holiday, I will be unable to be net control. I have reached out for a net control, but as of this point, unfortunately, no one is in. So I'm guessing there will not be a net. I want to get together at 8:30. Go ahead. Conduct the net yourself. And
KCKNB. Hi, Ken. Thank you for that traffic. And this is KCKNB in the Monday night Limark Infonet. The next station with traffic is Lou N2RQ. Lou, go ahead with your traffic.
Good evening, everyone. I hit two things tonight. One, Jerry mentioned, and it is School Club Roundup is coming up weeks on participation. The primary sponsor article in the issue of QSP. Second thing is New York City Marathon 7, which is on a short time to register. It would be very nice if we get a good turnout of operators. Not sure what the turnout is at this point, but that registration deadline is patient to get in. So if you have not received an invitation and are in contact, Deborah,
Ben. All right, Lou, and the stations that were passing traffic pretty much covered things that I would have brought up. So let's first just take any late check-ins, and then we'll just go back over the traffic. So at this time, any late check-ins, any call signs, give me a call sign now. I'll take one more call. One last call for anyone. Any call sign that has not signed in already.
Rich, this is NY2H. Echo Link. You got a couple of people trying to check in.
All right. We'll take any additional Echo Link check-ins, and we'll stand by for their check-ins.
This is KC2JRQ. Joe, no traffic. Sometimes a little difficult to get in there. If you could just leave a little bit. KC2JRQ.
WB2. Be dead. I know I've begun it the first time around, Rich.
You're good.
All right, Lou. So, Don, I did catch you the first time around, WB2BZ, and Joe, I have you in there now, KC2JRQ. And again, that's a reminder why you have to pause. You know, I know people get excited about talking, and sometimes we don't wait for the tones or anything like that, all of us being guilty of it. And of course, the problem is that stations that are coming in via computer-assisted, such as Echolink, IRLP, and even coming in from Selden, sometimes they get covered over. So you do have to wait. You do have to pause. And by the way, just from the side, the other day, we had a station coming in from France. And, you know, he's coming in via Echolink, and he was on W2VL. But for anybody who made contact with him, it was a lot of fun. And, yes, it did tie up the repeater for a little bit. But, you know, they understand, and we understand. And as I said, I don't know if he had 5 or 6 or 7 contacts, but it's fun. And that's what Echolink and IRLP are all about. Okay, let me go through some of the traffic. First with, I hope that everyone had a good Labor Day holiday and that it was relaxing, and the weather over the last day or two has been incredible, but I think we're due for some storms tonight. And don't forget that we still are in the middle of hurricane season. Tropical Storm Sandy was the end of October. So, you know, so be aware of that. Let me let it drop. We're coming up on the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, and it's a fast day, and so we wish all of our friends a good fast, which means that during the period of time which they're not eating for some 26 or 27 hours, be healthy and take care of yourself and do well. Okay, in terms of traffic that was passed along, our Vice President Harry passed along our meeting agenda for the October meeting, which should be October 13th. And what we want to do is to introduce people. Now, when there's a field day, you know, of course, we'd love to have you come down to the Weimar Field Day. We're one of the larger events. We usually have well over 100 people attending, but, you know, certainly anywhere from 60 to 100. But we'd love to have you come down. But, you know, we have members that come from all over. And what's equally as important is to get out and visit a field day site. And some of the sites are outstanding. They're at lighthouses. They're at unbelievable vantage points overlooking both the Sound and the ocean. Some very clever. And so the idea is to introduce you to some of the other sites that you certainly, you know, would love to have you go visit, as well as the Weimar Field Day, and to get some ideas about what Weimar can do. And for those of you who haven't attended Field Day, you know, it's the last full weekend in June, and we'll begin preparing for it shortly. And if you'd like to be on a committee, we certainly welcome you there, too. But the meeting, and the October meeting, will be on the Field Day, as it is around our section, around the NLI section. Now, we're again prepared to have an in-person meeting in October with a Zoom or a live stream of the event. And, you know, it's really important. We're a club and a hobby that's based upon meeting people. I mean, maybe not on an international level, but those aren't the people that you invite to come over to your house and climb on the roof and fix an antenna. And there's a lot of camaraderie that goes on when you meet somebody and have an opportunity to talk to them, get to know them, and a lot of very good friendships have been formed. And you hear it on the radio. You hear people that have tended to get much closer to one another as a result of ham radio and as a result of meeting up with one another, having dinner together, whatever the case may be. So it will be an in-person meeting. We hope you'll be there. But we're adjusting, and as I said, we'll Zoom it and perhaps live stream it at the same time. We try to make our log relevant, and the most relevance comes from keeping up to date with things that are going on and articles from people on a wide range of topics related to amateur radio, electronics, your background, your experience, and we certainly welcome the articles. They can go to Jerry, which would be wb2zex@limarc.org or any of the other titles that he has. But, you know, your first experiences, you know, what it was like to get on the air, what it's like to have your first radio, your first confrontation, I don't know, you know, anything like that. We'll edit out the bad stuff, but, you know, basically, so many of you have some backgrounds, the work that you're doing. So we'd love to have articles and keep the log relevant at all times.
Complete.
This is K2KMB in the Monday Night Weimar Infonet. A reminder that this Wednesday would be the computer net, but it's also the first, it's the night of Yom Kippur. And if we don't have a moderator, as Ken said, it's the group of you just want to show up at 8:30 and talk, you know, that's certainly great. And a reminder that this is a 5 Wednesday month, so we will have, let me think about that. We will have on next Wednesday, the following Wednesday will be the computer net, and then the Wednesday after that will be the Limark trivia and nostalgia net, so mark that one down. But again, if you go to the computer net, which is a well-attended, well-met net, if nobody's there, just carry on and have a discussion. And that'll be this Wednesday at 8:30. Coming up in October is the School Club Roundup, of which Limark, as Lou mentioned, is a primary sponsor along with the ARRL. It's become a very popular event. Of course, COVID threw a damper into it last year. We're hoping that many schools will be back on the air. But it's also important that the kids have contacts, and, you know, it's really great that they can contact Limark members because, again, after all, we are the sponsor of that event. And they will be on HF. I don't know if they do anything. You know, they may do other things. But contest-wise, they have to be on HF, I believe, possibly 6 meters. But if you have a chance, you will see some kids, and they could be any age. You know, it could be an elementary school where a teacher is getting them on the mic. We've seen junior high schools where there are kids that take charge and they become net control, and they are fantastic. They take control of the airwaves, and everyone gets their call in there. And really interesting to hear these youngsters take the control that they do. So even if you don't get on the air to talk to them, listen to what they do, and you'll be really proud that these youngsters do such a fine job. The other thing that Lou wanted to point out is that the New York City Marathon will be on Sunday, November 7th, which again is, by the way, a reason why we're having our next Hamfest on the 14th, November 14th, we didn't want to conflict with that. But on November 7th, and they can always use volunteers, and if you're interested in volunteering, it's not too late, it will be a quick sign-up, but you can send a note to eventsham@gmail.com. That's eventsham@gmail.com. And that will be to Debbie, who runs the communications, ham communications for the marathon. It's also a great experience, and people are very appreciative of it. They know that you're there. They know that communications are done well. And so if you'd like to participate, email Debbie and let her know. All right, at this time, I'll take one last call for any late check-ins. This net will be followed by the Limark Swap and Shop with George KE2FYU. That will be followed by Radio Newsline. And to all of you out there, have a good holiday and safe out there. Don't do silly stuff. This is K2KNB, 73 to all. George is George.
Thank you, Richie, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Limark Swap and Shop. This is George, KE2FYU, your net control. If at any time during the net you have emergency traffic for the net, you could break in using the word emergency, and it will be turned over to you to pass the emergency traffic. This net meets every Monday night following the Limark InfoNet, and the purpose of the net is to buy, to sell, or trade ham radio equipment or related electronic equipment. This is a directed net, so all communication is to go through net control. If you have an item for a listing or that you want, please indicate with traffic while checking in, and we'll come back to you for your listing after taking further check-ins. Please try to give a price, and of course, give your contact information. If there is interest, please establish contact and make future arrangements to conduct the exchange. Would anybody like to check in now?
KD2,
KNH,
supporting.
KD2, UDU,
reporting the net.
Okay, we have KD2, KNH, and KD2, UDU. There was somebody trying to key up, and nothing was heard, so I'm going to pause and see if anybody else wants to join the Limark Swap and Shop.
K2, GIB, Kilo 2, Golf, India, Bravo, supporting.
W2OSR with traffic.
Okay, and we got KD2ESY, K2GIB, and W2 OSR with traffic. Would anybody else like to join the Limark Swap and Shop?
NY28 supporting.
Okay, I've been pausing to see if anybody is joining from Echolink or IRLP. Good evening, Lou. NY2H is also joined. Would anybody else like to join the Limark Swap and Shop? Okay, this is George, KD2FIU. I want to turn it over to Bob, W2OSR. Bob, go ahead with your traffic.
All right, well, good evening, George. I didn't think I was going to be the only one with something to sell today. I got a Yaesu B1000 ZXA rotor. Is used. It's the rotor, which is the motor assembly that goes up on the top of the tower, plus the controller. I'm asking $400 for both of them. That price is somewhat negotiable, so if somebody wants it, but too much, we might be able to work something out. Anybody who's interested can contact me at w2osr@arrl.net.
Okay, Bob, yeah, thanks for bringing that in. And I want to make sure I got them right on that Yaesu rotator there. I guess it's a G1000, and let me clarify so we can hear it. Was that a Zebra X-ray Alpha?
Delta X-ray Alpha.
Okay, I don't have to repeat that. The G1000 Delta X-ray Alpha rotator plus controller. Asking is $400. And contact Bob, W2OSR, at ARRL.net. This is KD2FIU with the Limark Swap and Shop. Does anybody have anything else? Okay, I have a cable, and it is not an assembly. It's 100 feet of brand new RG8X Type 2, and this is non-contaminating burial type, RG8X, 100 feet of it by Davis RF. Davis RF is very high quality, and it's 8X, variable, and contaminating. 100 feet of it, never used. It has no terminations. Asking $25. That's for RG8X, 100 feet. Very high quality. You can contact me, George, at, let's see, well, I'll give my email address, radiofever@att.net. Radiofever@att.net for the RG8X, 100 feet. Does anybody else have anything for the Limark Swap and Shop? Okay, I would like to thank KD2KNH, KD2UDU, KD2ESY, K2GIB, a W2OSR, and NY2H for joining tonight. Thanks to everyone for listening. This net will be followed by Radio Newsline. This is KD2FIU closing the net at 2110-73.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2289, with a release date of Friday, September 10th, 2021, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A rocket explosion destroys two European satellites. Hams help safeguard animals in a California wildfire. And have you ever logged a contact with a hot air balloon? All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2289, comes your way right now.
From around the news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week with an update on the wildfires plaguing the U.S. West Coast. In California, the Caldor Fire hasn't just left its impact on residents and business owners in the more than 200,000 acres it's destroyed. The animals who live there are suffering as well. Amateur radio operators are stepping in to help these victims of this historic blaze, too. Rob Squillace, KK6ITV, has the details.
As flames of the Caldor Fire began sweeping perilously close to their homes starting in mid-August, residents were quickly evacuated to safety, often having to leave behind their pets and livestock. That's where hams in the El Dorado County Amateur Radio Club and members of its Neighborhood Radio Watch program have stepped in. They've been providing radio communication support to those who have not forgotten the animals. According to Alan Thompson, W6WN, the club's public information officer, radio operators have been assisting the South County Large Animal Rescue Group, El Dorado County Animal Services, and the various emergency response agencies around California. The organizations are conducting welfare checks throughout the fire-damaged county, looking after animals who are sheltering in place or facilitating a rescue when necessary. The hams themselves are getting support, too. They're being joined by volunteers in the club's Neighborhood Radio Watch program, area residents using inexpensive General Mobile Radio Service, or GMRS, radios. Alan wrote to Newsline, quote, "We desperately love our animal companions," end quote. The club reminds people in the affected areas to contact El Dorado County Animal Services or the shelter if they have animals they are concerned about. You'll find the phone numbers in the printed script of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci.
Two European-built amateur radio satellites were destroyed in an explosion during their rocket's first test flight. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has the details.
The pair of AMSAT EA Genesis satellites that were aboard the first test flight of Firefly Aerospace Alpha launch vehicle were destroyed when the rocket, fueled by kerosene, launched from the Vandenberg Air Force Base northwest of Los Angeles and then exploded. The blast blew apart the Genesis L and Genesis N satellites that had been built in collaboration with the Universidad Europea and ICAI. The satellites were outfitted for amateur communication in amplitude shift keying and CW. Earliest reports on Twitter described what happened 2.5 minutes after liftoff, saying the vehicle, quote, appeared to lose control and tumble moments before the fiery explosion, end quote. According to a report on Space News, the liftoff occurred only after a first launch attempt was made an hour earlier, but was aborted in the final seconds of the countdown. The two digital repeater satellites were among several on board the rocket built by Texas-based Firefly Aerospace. Firefly tweeted, quote, "Alpha experienced an anomaly during the first stage ascent that resulted in the loss of the vehicle," end quote. The company was previously known as Firefly Space Systems before entering bankruptcy, which it emerged from 2017 with new owners. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
A Texas high school honor student has received the ARRL's premier honor, the Hiram Percy Maxim Memorial Award. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, introduces us to her.
As we discover every year with our Young Ham of the Year Award, there are some amazing young people in our hobby today. One of those is Catherine Forson, KT5KMF, the American Radio Relay League's 2021 Hiram Percy Maxim Award winner. I spoke with the remarkable young woman. Was licensed as a tech at the age of 9 and was an extra 5 years later. Forson said she loves the public service aspect of amateur radio and participates in a variety of local events throughout the year. She's also fascinated by the opportunities that the digital modes, such as FT8, afford operators. But what's most interesting to her is that ham radio has helped her decide her future.
This one's actually pretty interesting because ham radio has really helped me a lot in figuring that out. Yes, I am a trained skywarn storm spotter. I actually want to be a meteorologist. I finished just a couple weeks ago my application to Texas A&M. They have an incredible geosciences program there, and specifically meteorology. They have the oldest ham radio club in Texas on campus. They also have a student storm chasing team.
When asked if she had any advice for other young women who may be hesitant about getting into radio or science like she did, she offered this.
If it's something that you want to do, you go for it. I can remember when I first got licensed, when I was taking my test, it was this room full of adult men. I was this tiny 9-year-old girl, and I tried to use a giant calculator, and it was awkward at first, but it's become something that I love. It's given me something that I have in common with my family. It's helped me figure out what I want to do with my life. And so I think even if it's intimidating at first, I would say don't let it stop you. Don't let being, you know, one of the few women, one of the few young girls stop you.
Forsten is working with other Texas area female hams to create a YL-friendly online community tied to the ARRL North Texas section site. Promoting youth amateur radio is something near and dear to our hearts here at Amateur Radio Newsline. Congratulations from all of us at Newsline to Catherine Forsen, who cheer ahead. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
America's Appalachian Trail has always captured hikers' imaginations, and next month it'll be capturing hundreds and hundreds of miles of radio signals. Jim Dameron, NATMW, has that report.
In the United States, the 2,190-mile-long Appalachian Trail will present 2,190 miles of possibilities for soda and POTA activators on Saturday, October 2nd. Soda enthusiasts are already registering to activate summits that are within a short distance on the trail, and hams will be calling between 1,200 and 2,100 UTC throughout the day. If you're an avid hiker, as well as a soda or POTA activator, you have time to add your name and your summit or park of choice to the list by sending an email to atontheair@gmail.com. Soda activators may also post an alert on SodaWatch. This event is being held on the same day as the W7AS2F 10-point matches, so it's recommended that soda chasers stand by and defer to summits calling other summits. For details, visit the Appalachian Trail on the Air website. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW.
If you want to hear history as it happens, be listening for the audio retransmission provided by the Launch Information Service and Amateur Television System. They'll be retransmitting feeds of the countdown and booster recovery for SpaceX's Inspiration 4, a three-day mission featuring the first all-civilian crew inside a Crew Dragon spacecraft. It's a charity flight for the benefit of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. At the time, Newsline went to production, liftoff was scheduled for September 15th. According to Joe Dolinsky, W0WD, the LeeSat's Amateur Radio Club repeater will carry feeds of the transmission. There's also a listen live button on LISATS.org, the LeeSat's website, which has links to Broadcastify. Listening may also be possible via Echolink at WB4ATV. Hams who are up for some high adventure in Switzerland are taking their ambition seriously by operating from a hot air balloon. Ed Durant, DD5LP, tells us about their plans.
Plans for the Helvetia Telegraphy Club's big activation are up in the air. In fact, the radio operators hope to get up in there and stay there for at least 2 hours aboard a hot air balloon. Their scheduled launch date is the 14th of September, when they hope to start operating sometime after 0530 UTC. The call sign, Hotel Bravo 9 Hotel Charlie /Aeronautical Mobile, will be activated by members of the USKA /HTC National Mountain Day Commission as hams ascend to the sky over Switzerland, operating all the while on 40 meters, 30 meters and 20 meters. They will be transmitting with 15 of CW power, making use of vertical dangling antennas. If you're interested in a contact, watch the reverse beacon network or the DX clusters. You can also use APRS if you're interested in the balloon's exact position. Are the radio operators' hopes perhaps a bit overinflated? Probably not. They're already advising everyone to get familiar with such important Q codes as QAH for altitude and QAL for landing. All details are on their website at the URL given in the script on our arnewsline.org website. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7 MMA repeater in Spokane, Washington, on Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you're a satellite enthusiast, you owe a bit of thanks to one notable homebrewer, tinkerer, and distinguished professor in the U.K., Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about a recent BBC interview with him.
With an imagination fueled by NASA's Apollo missions a decade earlier, Martin Sweeting, G3YJO, went on to launch a new era in space himself, the age of microsatellites, which began as a home project built partly at home and partly on the campus of the University of Surrey. That first very basic microsatellite, U0SAT-1, the granddaddy of all that would come later, was eventually launched by NASA in 1981. Martin, an amateur radio operator since his student years, recalls in a new interview with the BBC what it was like being the creator of the first microsatellite in a pre-internet era. More than simply an amateur radio communications tool, today's microsatellites aid the world in navigation, scientific research, weather, and environmental monitoring. As satellite mega-constellations now revolutionize communications yet further, Martin, now a distinguished professor of space engineering at the university, also makes a plea to clean the skies of the hazard of space junk. The BBC posted the half-hour interview on its website. That URL is available in the script of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Line, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association is introducing a new twist or two on an old favorite DX contest, now in its 76th year. With those details, here's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
If you're looking for contacts with stations in the Oceania region and you happen to be a YL, you're in luck. The Oceania DX contest is taking place on two consecutive weekends, October 2nd and 3rd for phone and October 9th and 10th. For CW, and this year the spotlight includes two awards being introduced specifically for YLs. Both awards, sponsored by ALARA, the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, are being given to a single operator YL who achieves the highest combined score in phone and CW. YLs inside the Oceania region are eligible for the Florence McKenzie Award, named for Australia's first known licensed female ham radio operator who received the call sign A2GA in 1925. YLs in the rest of the world are eligible for the Austin Ham Award, named for a prize-winning home brewer who was a member of the Yasmi Foundation, the RSGV, MZART, and the ARRL. She became Australia's third licensed YL in 1930 when she received the call sign VK31. YLs who want to be considered for either award should select the YL box on their entry form when they submit their log. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
There's something for everyone in a new special interest group that's about to begin meeting up in Sydney, Australia. Best of all, you don't even have to be in Australia to attend, as Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us.
The Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club is inviting you all to Australia. The occasion, the start-up of the club's Special Interest Group Session, or SIGS. The first one is set for Friday, September 17 at 7:30 p.m. local time. The location, the club headquarters in Bendigo East Hall in Bendigo, but don't let the small obstacle of an ocean to prevent you from being part of it. The club is opening the session to attendees everywhere via Zoom, and members of any radio club are encouraged to participate. According to Al from Graham Knight, VK3GRK, these sessions are being held on weekends at Barak headquarters and will cover a variety of topics, led by club members with expertise in those areas. They'll cover such topics as CW, JSA call, wind length, and an introduction to amateur radio. The Zoom details can be found in the script for this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio News, I'm Graham Kemp, VK3BB.
In the world of DX, special event stations ED3SDC, EG1SDC through EG8SDC, and EH1SDC through EH8SDC are on the air from Spain until the 12th of September. The stations are commemorating the Asturias Day Festival and its patron saint, Santina de Covadonga. Send QSLs to EA1AUM direct by the Bureau, Logbook of the World, or EQSL. There are also downloadable certificates. For more details, visit QRZ.com. Be listening for Mark, W5MED, who is at McMurdo Station on Ross Island in Antarctica, AN011, until October. Mark can be heard on the air on 14.243 MHz SSB and 14.070 MHz FT8. Send QSLs direct to K7MT and Logbook of the World. And if you're planning to work any amateurs from Belgium, be listening for the special prefix OS being used through the 12th. Institute for Postal Services and Telecommunications has given permission for the substitution of the usual ON prefix to mark the 120th anniversary of the first transatlantic radio transmission by Googly Elbow, Marconi. And our final story is transmitted signals, pigeons, and a bit of a flap that has nothing to do with those feathered wings. Neil Rapp, WV9VPG, flutters in on A Wing and a Prayer with all those details.
Satellite enthusiasts are known to call their passion working the birds. Who doesn't love the thrill of bouncing signals from on high and with a little help from some ham-friendly tech in the sky? But not all birds, apparently, are friendly to radio signals. In this case, we mean feathered kind of birds, which are eyed for possible disruption of a satellite broadband service. Call it a suspected RFI for ruffled feather interference. Pigeons, it seems, may be a source of trouble for at least one man who is beta testing Elon Musk's Starlink service in the UK. Signals from the low Earth orbit satellite system are sent to small rooftop receiving dishes that could appear to be a bird bath in need of refilling. That is, if you happen to be a thirsty bird. Alan Woodward, a professor at the University of Surrey, told the BBC in a recent report that he blames roosting pigeons for his instant lack of reception. The BBC interviewed an unnamed expert who said the presence of pigeons could impact service, but the BBC had no comment from Starlink itself. One thing is certain, however, satellites most definitely benefit from line of sight, not line of flight. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
With thanks to Alan Thompson, W6WN, AMSAT, Appalachian Trail on the Air, the ARRL, Barrick, BBC Sound, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, Daily DX, FCC.gov, Helvetia Telegraphy Club, the Ohio Pen DX, QRZ.com, the Radio Society of Great Britain, the Soda Reflector, Southgate Amateur Radio News, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Twitter, WCWW Shortwave, the YL Beam, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. You can write to us at newsline at arnewsline.org. For more information or to support us, visit our official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2021. All rights are reserved.
W2VL. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VM. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the
KD2FIU. KD2FIU.
KD2OGB mobile. KD2OGB mobile.
The
time is 12:04 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m. W2VL.
Whiskey Bravo 2, Mike and Sierra Bravo Mobile listening.
W2. W2VL. W2VF.
Welcome to the W1HDN repeater system.
KB1BSK, monitoring 145410.
W1HDN repeater.
Delta 2 Whiskey, India Whiskey.
W2 VL.
K82 OGB Mobile, Sunrise westbound.
Well, I'm glad you're not sitting by KD2KNH.
Well, technically I am sitting by. I always joke with Wayne about that too. He always says, KD2UDU, and I always say, what are you listening to?
Yes, well, he could say the radio. Technically correct. Static or no static, nice and clear. Hey, do I?
Good, good. How's everything going over there? Busy day today?
Crazy yesterday. Trying to get caught up on crazy today, and how it goes. Some days it's like Maytag repairman, and other days, sanity.
Yeah, you almost have to be careful what you wish for. You know, I was off 2 years of work, and I'm working now, and it's hard to get back into the swing of things, but at the same point, I don't want to go to where there's nothing to do all day.
I would go absolutely insane. Doesn't work, I guess. Yeah, I go insane. I go to some of these offices. The amount of time wasted, I mean, there's pretty much what they get paid for to produce nothing.
Remember that years ago, many, many years, an article once about how the government pays $1,000 for an ashtray. It's like, but yeah, some jobs are funny that way. Like, you know, when you think about you're working, you say, okay, what am I working for? Am I making this world a better place? Am I, you know, because some of your jobs is just to make the company you work for money.
Idea behind it. You work for somebody to make them money, and you work to make them a lot more money than getting. That's the way it works. And government doesn't seem to have that concept down. Like you said, you pay $1,000 for an ashtray, consider that a person, pay that every week until they finish their 20 years. Then you continue to pay it because they get some kind of a salary replacement retirement.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I, you and I aren't young, so we know the world's always been crazy. But I just feel like the last few years at a higher crazy level than I thought it could get.
Your insanity, no logic applied in a lot of areas. I was lucky because I was essential. You know, nothing can work without printers and copiers today, fortunately for me. And I was everywhere and every place it's supposed to be. And fortunately, I didn't get it. And who knows, I could have had it for a couple of days and not even known it. A lot of people just have, you know, had it and have no clue.
Yeah, I actually said to my wife the other day, you know, I don't know, it's a little tightness in my chest. And she said, Mike, you probably said that about 10 times last year. I said, okay, I think I'm good. I did sleep in the air conditioner, and it was really cold last night.
Well, it's always the time when you think it's nothing that it's actually something. But, no, good idea to get screened and get full ultrasound of your arteries and your heart. And, you know, then at least you know things heart-wise. And I got mine done a few years ago, and I'll go back again because it's a good thing to know.
Yeah, that once-a-year checkup at Olden. But I think sometimes, like I said, you know, COVID stuff, they'll say, oh, this is this, and this is this. They definitely overthink it.
Well, not a concern for me until it becomes a kind. My grandson had it, my daughter had it, my son-in-law had it, and have it are perfectly fine, as you know.
As I was saying to someone yesterday who was telling me things over-exaggerated, and I said to him, in some ways I'm kind of glad you said that, because it depends who you are. I have a friend right now whose brother, his wife didn't believe the vaccine, and now he's laying up in the hospital, both of them are on ventilators, and chance he may not make it. And, you know, so I said to him, I said, you know, for you saying that it exaggerated, I'm guessing you don't know anybody that passed away or is up in the hospital. And he said, no. I said, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's why it's all relative. Everything is based on your personal interactions and experiences. And talking to either doctors or nurses and people in the medical field and tell you differently. It's, you know, you got to trust that it's a problem. But proper proportions and get the vaccine. I had no problem with the vaccine. If I already had it, I probably wouldn't get it because you have better immunity. Fight what they're saying. Anyway, Mike, I got to run. I'm going to listen now. It's A&H Clear. I'm on the clock. So, you know, capitalism, got to pay my dues. I got to work.
Yeah, well, like I said, every day you can complain about it's a good day. So enjoy the rest of the day, and yeah, we'll talk again. Thanks for coming back to KD2, and I'll be clear as well.
All right, you have a good day. KD2, KD2 clear.
W2VF.